evening, everybody, and welcome to Alternatives for Health and Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Osborne, and with me tonight is Dr. Dorothy Merritt. She's my co-host, and also Dr. Sakina Davis. We'll be bringing a new format to you guys. This is a brand new show. It's a call-in show, so feel free to call in. The number is 281-558-5738, or pound KSEV if you're on Verizon Wireless. That's a free phone call. Once again, that's 281-558-5738. Or pound KSEV. The focus of this show is to basically bring good, natural, healthy treatment ideas and options for people that are out there that maybe the mainstream medical model has failed or is just not working as well as maybe they would like it to work. And so tonight we're going to focus just on introducing the show and the format. And, you know, I'm going to start off by asking Dr. Merritt. She's here with me tonight, and we're going to ask her to introduce herself and just to give us a little history about what she does and how she got involved with alternative medicine. And Dr. Merritt, I'm going to let you take over from there.
Well, thank you, Peter. Yes, I graduated from Baylor about 20 years ago, and in primary care, I'm an internist. And about 15 years ago, I ran into a company called SpectraCell that measured intracellular vitamin levels. And I was like, who in the world would need that? We all have great nutrition, and why would anybody need that? Well, anyway, to make a long story short, I did about 500 of their tests, had these giant miracle cures that, you know, internists never have, and it just changed my total perspective of medicine. So now I've evolved. One of the amino acids that a lot of people are deficient in is called N-acetylcysteine, and it's very important for healing. And that led me into lead toxicity, and so now I own a company that deals with lead testing and does blood lead levels, and then for some people, we actually do chelation therapy to get the lead out of their body.
Wow. Well, that's certainly not something that we would hear about from just, say, a regular internist who maybe just practices day-to-day high blood pressure, high cholesterol. Here's a medication to take care of the symptoms and come back and see me every 3 to 6 months and have your liver enzymes checked.
Oh, yeah, it's totally changed from, oh, this is the latest drug on the market and this is why you should take it to, why do you have this blood pressure problem? Is it because your nitric oxide is off because you're nutrient deficient in B vitamins and N-acetylcysteine? And I just look at the root cause of everything now, and it really has changed. And being a traditional doctor, too, I can tell you that my report cards, you know, from the insurance companies and stuff are like at 75-80% of my peers, because my people don't seem to need as many medications, they don't get hospitalized as much, they don't have to go to the ER as much, because they're not as sick, at least statistically. And this has held for the last, you know, 10 years since I started giving everybody NAC and vitamins.
Well, and that brings us back again to why we're having this show. Simply is primarily it's to find and treat the causes of disease, or seek the causes of the disease, as opposed to, you know, covering up a symptom or medicating a symptom that may or may not have a profound impact on a person or a patient's overall health long term. I also want to introduce tonight Dr. Sakina Davis. She is a family practice doctor in the Woodlands, and she is also a wellness practitioner, and I think her specialty focuses primarily on nutrition and hormone therapy. So I'm going to let Dr. Davis give us a little introduction about herself.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Yes, I started learning about alternative options about 3.5 years ago. I was in traditional practice for about 5 years and found that many people just were not satisfied with the answers I gave them. I wasn't satisfied with the answers I gave them either. I found them coming back more and more with more illnesses, more problems, more side effects from their drugs and medications. And I felt very unsatisfied with that, so I tried to learn more and a different approach. I also use SpectraCell Laboratories and have found some great results using vitamins, natural hormones, working with diet, just so many different things that we can do to be proactive and prevent problems instead of just treating with a drug and then another drug and finding multiple side effects. So this practice has been much more rewarding for me, for my patients. I feel like we are just generally healthier. I still practice traditional family practice, and I don't tend to see as many people in for the flu or cold or other symptoms, because they're just generally healthier on their vitamins and their hormones and generally eating better.
Well, that's excellent. It's good to know that we have somebody else in the city other than myself and Dr. Merritt who practices in a similar fashion where patients could seek out alternative treatments. I also want to get into myself. I'm Dr. Peter Osborne. I'm practicing in Sugar Land, Texas, which is just southwest Highway 59. And, you know, my story is just one of philosophy. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a chiropractor by nature, but I'm also a diplomate with the American Clinical Board of Nutrition. And, you know, I had options to go to medical school or to go to other schools to seek out an education, but for me it was more a philosophical issue. I was never a big believer in medication simply because I didn't feel like that was the cause, or I didn't think it was the solution. I thought there's always a reason a person has a problem, and if we just dig deep enough, we can seek to identify what that problem is. I also do a lot of spectrocell lab testing. Probably do more spectrocell testing than anyone else I know anyway. And in my experience in natural health care has been that if you can address the diet, if you can address vitamins, minerals, if you can address how a person takes care of themselves, their sleeping habits, their air that they breathe, et cetera, the water they drink, then you can many times take a disease that looks quite bleak and hopeless and turn it around and bring a great benefit to a patient or to a person, and in many cases, reverse disease or even put disease into remission.
Peter, when you do your spectrocells, what are the most common nutritional deficiencies you see?
I see B12 and zinc, hands down, more than anything else. Extremely common. I would say 95% of the cases that I get back are B12 deficient, first-timers. Mm.
I agree. A lot of vitamin D deficiency right now as well.
Right, 50%, I think. Nationwide.
Exactly. And getting worse during this time of year when we have our time change and we're not out in the sun and we all have our sunblock on to protect our skin, now we're seeing a lot more vitamin D deficiency.
I took the first 500 spectrocells that I did and analyzed them, and I found that only 25% of the patients in this area of the country that I analyzed had normal levels of antioxidants. The B vitamins were very interesting because they changed whether you were under 65 or over 65. And there's a lot more as you get older. I guess your gut ages kind of like your skin ages, and it just doesn't absorb as much. And a lot, about 40% mineral deficiencies, and then 33% of this cysteine glutathione deficiency, which I didn't even know what it was when I started. But I know that if you eat protein and take NAC, it'll fix it. Interestingly, B12 deficiency, I saw less as they got older because I think the ones that had it when they were younger didn't make it to the over 65 population.
Yeah.
I see a lot of pantothenate deficiency lately as well.
Really,
almost every one of my last probably 50 spectrocells has had pantothenate deficiency as well. And I think it's because the foods that are supposedly fortified with these B vitamins we're all not eating anymore. And so I think our nutritional supply is just depleted.
Well, that's excellent. We're going to have to take a break here. If you want to call in, ask questions, myself, Dr. Osborne, Dr. Merritt, or Dr. Davis, just call in. It's 281-558-5738 or pound KSEV for Verizon callers. Thanks, and we'll be right back.
Being thick around the middle? Does your skin flap like a chicken when you wave goodbye? Are those saddlebags getting on your nerves? Well, Cool Lipo is here and the results are amazing. As we grow older, our skin begins to show the signs of sun and lifestyle. The face and neck are exposed to the sun more than any other part of the body and tend to age more quickly. And we look for expensive creams and lotions to erase the signs of aging, and some people even consider surgery. At Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center, we can perform Cool Lipo, a non-surgical procedure procedure in our office. And there's no downtime, and it takes less time than a trip to the grocery store. Consider Cool Lipo to remove fatty tissue under the chin, neck, arms, abdomen, and even thighs. Call Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center today for more information at 281-362-0014. We'll have you back in swimsuit shape in no time at all. Call us at 281-362-0014 for your Cool Lipo consultation. 281-362-0014. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Have you been put on medications to treat your symptoms because doctors have been unable to identify the cause of your depression and fatigue? Have you tried thyroid hormones without great success? Then call Town Center Wellness today. That phone number, 281-240-2229. Symptoms of hypothyroidism such as fatigue, depression, and mental sluggishness have all been linked to nutritional deficiencies. If you have any of these deficiencies, medications might help initially, but they will be of little benefit in the long run. At Town Center Wellness, you will be seen by a doctor who is board certified in clinical nutrition and has the ability to detect your deficiencies and customize a nutritional prescription based on your unique needs. Quit guessing about your health and call Town Center Wellness today, 281-240-2229, and schedule your appointment. That's 281-240-2229. Town Center Wellness, 281-240-2229.
Do you suffer from high blood pressure, chronic pain, memory loss, arthritis, hardening of the arteries, cataracts, or fibromyalgia? Recent NIH studies have shown that 38% of U.S. adults have blood lead levels that put them at higher risk for a variety of health problems. To get tested for lead, call 1-800-360-3382.
Dr. Dorothy Merritt, the founder of the Chelation Centers of Texas, is board certified in internal medicine and has dedicated over 20 years to treating patients suffering from the effects of lead toxicity. To get tested, call 800-360-3382. Lead is the silent killer. Get tested, get treated. 800-360-3382.
You take vitamins every day, but how can you be sure you're getting all the nutrients you need to stay healthy? Most of us try to stay fit, but how many of us know exactly how healthy we actually are? In fact, studies show that 50% of people who take vitamins have deficiencies that can suppress immune function and contribute to chronic illness. SpectraCell's patented blood test measures vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants in the body's cells to determine if you're getting all you need. For more information in the name of a clinician near you, go to www.spectracell.com or call 713-621-3101.
Welcome back, everybody, to Alternatives for Health and Wellness. This is Dr. Osborne, your host, with Dr. Davis and Dr. Merritt. If you want to call in with your questions, our phone number here is 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738 or pound KSEV for Verizon callers. And we're back. So I wanted to get in a little bit tonight and talk a little bit about environment and genetics because there's a lot of confusion out there. I know a lot of my own patients will come into the office, and one of the things that they've commonly been told is that because their parents had diabetes or their grandparents had diabetes, that it's just in their genes and they're just destined to have it and there's nothing that they can really do about it. And I want to talk about how that's actually quite the contrary. Although genes play a great role in overall health, you know, many studies have shown that environmental triggers and environmental factors play 70% the role, whereas genetics play 30% the role. So if you accommodate your environment to match your genes, then that's really ideally what a person needs to do to maintain their health. But now the question becomes, how then do we accommodate our environment to match our genes? America's such a melting pot of genetics, it's hard to know whether your German blood or your Indian blood or your Irish blood, etc., is prone to which disease. And so we have to kind of have a way then genetically to investigate and to look into what our genetics are so that we can make those observations and those clinical recommendations to our patients. And I know Dr. Merritt does a lot of folate gene testing, and I'm going to let her talk a little bit about that.
Well, before we get into that, I was going to point out that today on the web, I noticed that you can put diabetes into remission 76% of the time with a simple therapy called weight loss. And it was on the testing for the people who've undergone the banding, the lap banding. And I'm not sitting here as a proponent of that, but 76% of the people who undergo it that are diabetics are in remission now without medication. So environmental things are so important. Weight loss is such an important thing to longevity and diabetes and many of the ills of our current lifestyle. But as far as the methyl gene, I think this is a very interesting thing because I always look for things that minor things that you can do that will create a huge difference in the health of your patients. And interestingly, there is a gene called the folate gene that has five different things that it does or has to be transformed into active folate. And 50% of the American population has genetic mutations along this gene. What this means is these people have more vascular disease, more cancer, more neuropathy, more dementia, all these different things. And now that there is a methylfolate gene or a supplement that can be prescribed, and it may make a huge difference in the amount of toxicity that people see. Last month in my clinic, I was like, well, 40-50% of the Americans have it. I wonder what percentage of the people who come to a doctor have it. And it turned out that I've seen five normals, and I've ordered over 100 of them this month. So 95% of the people that come to my practice have mutations in this gene, and it's very important for their health that they be identified and that their children be identified before they develop disease. So maybe we can, you know, prevent, truly prevent.
I want to chime in here just to put that a little bit differently. So maybe some people can understand from a different perspective. I think what Dr. Merritt just said is simply this. There are genetic variants that a lot of the general population has, and these genetic variances are not diseases. They are just the state of genetics. Some people are faster runners. Some people are better sprinters versus long-distance runners. They have genetic inheritance that gives them that ability. And what Dr. Merritt is saying is some people metabolize folic acid, which is a common B vitamin, better than others. And if we can identify those that have a difficult time in metabolizing that vitamin, then we can give them directly a form of the vitamin that will bypass the genetic flaw so that it improves their overall health.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Speaking of genetic studies and genetic input, there's another genetic test that has a pretty profound impact on an individual's health. And it can help us to determine the type of diet that a person should or should not eat. The name of the gene is the HLA-DQ gene, and that's just a big mouthful, so I won't get into the chemistry of it. But basically, this is a gene that codes for a specific type of receptor on the cell that when it's activated can create inflammation in the body. And as we know, inflammation is the precursor to all known chronic degenerative diseases. So if we can change the diet to reduce inflammation, then we can improve the outcome of the health. Well, this gene is specifically identifies whether a person should or should not eat grain as a staple food. And so if we can identify that, then we can revamp an individual's diet. We can change their diet to be more accommodating to their own genetic milieu as opposed to not. And so then we can improve their overall health, their overall outcome, especially if they're ill. A lot of times, well, I'll put it like this. When we talk about autoimmune disease, there's only one known cause for autoimmune disease. And that's not to say there's only one known cause for all autoimmune diseases, but there's only one autoimmune disease that we know the cause for. And the name of that disease is celiac disease. And the cause of celiac disease is a food allergen, in essence. It's basically a genetic state of being. The individual genetically cannot tolerate grain, and so then secondarily develops celiac disease, which is a disease of the intestines. It's an autoimmune disease, so the body is basically attacking its own intestines. And so these individuals have to cut gluten out of their diet or pay a very severe consequence, which is a deterioration of their health and an early decline in their health. And so identifying then that particular factor, we know there are a lot of other autoimmune diseases. And personally, in my own experience, I have actually seen autoimmune disease go into remission by changing diet. And I'm not talking about just celiac disease. I'm also talking about rheumatoid arthritis and lupus and Sjogren's and psoriasis and severe eczema and atopic dermatitis and a lot of other conditions that are considered to be autoimmune in nature. And so genetic testing for this particular gene then just allows us to make one very simple diet change, which can have a tremendously profound effect on an individual's health if they're willing to make the diet change.
I think that's where we have to really become practical and realistic. I think so many people really just don't even know how to change their diet, what's available to them, and what's out there. So I think once they see this testing, they see it in black and white, they're just more apt to at least try and learn about it. I find in my patients, you know, even the first time or second time I see them and I explain this to them, it's hard for them to come to terms with this, you know, that I can't eat gluten or I can't eat dairy or certain things that they have allergens to or sensitivities to. But I think once we work with them for a while, again, I can reiterate that I've seen many of my patients with autoimmune disorders, fibromyalgia, you know, especially irritable bowel syndrome. I think that's the most common disorder that I see, and we've really helped them a lot to live a much healthier life, a much better life. Their symptoms are so much better. They don't have chronic pain. They can get up and function. And again, it's just for one simple dietary change.
Yeah, absolutely. What kinds of testing do you do in your office, Sakina, that helps you kind of determine that? What do you do with your patients?
Well, I do a couple of different kinds of tests. I have a food allergy test, which tests not only for true food allergens, but also food sensitivities. And I would say I'm very shocked at the amount of younger children I'm seeing who have particularly several sensitivities to dairy, to gluten, to wheat, and to other, you know, things that we normally would take for granted. So I'm seeing a lot more of these sensitivities, and once I'm able to take them out of their diet, you know, slowly and explain to them how to eat, and we have so much more available to us now than we did 20 years ago. You can go to the local supermarkets and they have a whole gluten-free section. And I think once they realize that this is becoming a part of their life, they're much more apt to do it. But with that food allergy, food sensitivity testing, I can show them in black and white, here it is. You're sensitive to cow's milk. You're sensitive to dairy. You're sensitive to wheat or gluten. And that's so much more helpful for me to actually be able to show that to them. And I think that's been the biggest help for me. I also test for candida. And for people who have gut sensitivities, we do a candida cleanse diet. And that helps a lot to allow them to absorb their nutrients better and to actually help with some of these food sensitivities and food allergens that they do have.
Dr. Osborne, have you had any experience with the blood type diets? Because those are HLA, genetic typing of what kind of food you should eat based on your blood type. What's your thoughts on that?
I think they're good kind of starting points to take as guidance. I've had patients that responded extremely well to blood typing diets. I've had patients that didn't respond very well to blood typing diets. So there's more there than meets the eye. There's more there than what we actually know. However, you know, I don't dismiss it. I wouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. A lot of doctors will say, well, there's just not enough research supporting, you know, blood typing antigens and certain types of foods or chemical constituents in those foods that can trigger, you know, immune responses in those patients. However, I think ultimately, if we look at it from the patient perspective, which is this: if you eat something and you feel bad afterwards, that is the first clue that maybe that's not something you should be eating. So if you ignore what your body is telling you, then you're committing the first cardinal sin of health, which is yourself. You're just basically avoiding you're avoiding the truth. If you like that food and you eat it anyway and it makes you feel terrible, there's not a whole lot I can do to convince you otherwise, other than, like Dr. Davis said, maybe give you something a little bit more black and white, some type of testing, allergy testing, genetic testing, that would give you a definitive yes or no answer as to whether or not you should avoid that food. On that note, we're on the hard line here. We've got to take a quick break, and we'll be back. We welcome your calls, 281-558-5738 or pound KSEV for Verizon callers. Thanks again.
Do you often tell your doctor that you're tired all the time, out of energy, have no interest in sex, and seem to have PMS all the time? The doctor probably ran your blood work and told you that everything came back normal. At the Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center, we specialize in hormone imbalances. We don't only rely on the blood work to diagnose your symptoms, and we don't treat the individual symptoms by giving you a prescription for each one. We look for the root of your symptoms and get to the underlying problems that are causing your symptoms. Dr. Sakina Davis can help you obtain health and wellness naturally. Call the Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center today at 281-362-0014 and let us put you back in balance. Call today at 281-362-0014. Call the Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center today.
You take vitamins every day, but how can you be sure you're getting all the nutrients you need to stay healthy? Most of us try to stay fit, but how many of us know exactly how healthy we actually are? In fact, studies show that 50% of people who take vitamins have deficiencies that can suppress immune function and contribute to chronic illness. SpectraCell's patented blood test measures vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants in the body's cells to determine if you're getting all you need. For more information in the name of a clinician near you, go to www.spectracell.com or call 713-621-3101.
Warning: if you've been diagnosed with high blood pressure or high cholesterol and are currently taking medications to offset these conditions, then you need to be aware of the nutritional side effects that they can have. Commonly prescribed cholesterol and blood pressure medications may lead to deficiencies in vitamins and minerals that are needed by your body to protect the function of your cardiovascular system. A deficiency in some of these nutrients may actually cause heart disease. The doctors at Town Center Wellness specialize in identifying nutritional deficiencies with state-of-the-art laboratory testing, not available in most doctors' offices. Protect your health today by calling Town Center Wellness at 281-240-2229. Town Center Wellness, 281-240-2229. Once again, Town Center Wellness, 281-240-2229.
Welcome back, everybody, to Alternative Living, Alternative Health and Wellness. And we've got a phone call. We've got Ann in Houston. She's got a question about gluten sensitivity symptoms, and I'm going to let you ask your question.
Well, basically, I just want to know what kind of symptoms you mentioned gluten intolerance. What kind of symptoms would a person have from that?
Well, they're all over the board. I mean, traditionally, the symptoms of gluten intolerance as it relates to celiac disease are gastrointestinal symptoms such as bloating or discomfort, chronic diarrhea, even in some cases vomiting, severe weight loss. But that's actually what we're finding is actually more of a rare manifestation of gluten sensitivity. It's just one fraction of the population that actually manifests those symptoms. More commonly, we're seeing things like Dr. Davis noted on earlier, the irritable bowel syndrome, chronic constipation, fatigue, malaise, muscle pain, a general achiness all over, just feelings of lethargy and mental cloudiness. It's very, I guess I could say it's very widespread. I mean, we see a lot of different things, which is one of the reasons why we like to rule out food intolerances or sensitivities very early on, because food is, there's a quote, let food be thy medicine. I mean, it's so powerful, and people don't respect it in today's world. They just kind of take it for granted. They go for the convenience things and don't even think what it could potentially be doing to their health. But I'm kind of getting off of your question. I hope I answered that for you. Is that a good answer?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The interesting thing about celiac sprue, too, is that it takes 6 weeks to get the lining of the intestine to grow back to its normal self after exposure to wheat. So if you get off the gluten and then you have a little intolerance or a day where you're non-compliant, it's one of those things that can just totally I've seen slides of it when I was studying pathology where you can destroy 6 weeks of work, you know, of work on staying off of a drug or off the wheat in one day of just eating wheat.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of the studies have come out and said now that, you know, for patients that have problems with gluten, it's damaging at 20 parts per million, which is, you know, not a very large amount. I mean, we're talking about a drop of water in a swimming pool. So that's not a lot. And if it can be damaging at that amount, it's real important if you've been diagnosed with that type of condition to really just avoid it by preparing your own foods and being very diligent about where you go to eat, etc. I wanted to get in this segment. I wanted to get in a little bit more on allergies and food sensitivities. And Dr. Davis, what I'd like to have you do is if you could kind of give us just a synopsis of the difference between a sensitivity and an intolerance. I get that question a lot. And if you could just enlighten our audience about that particular topic, that'd be great.
Sure. I run a test that checks for something called IgG and IgE mediated sensitivities. So basically what that boils down to is we can test certain foods to see if you have a true allergy, such as peanut allergies, where people, if they're even close to it or inhale it, have a life-threatening anaphylactic reaction to it. And then we have those things that are much, much in a different grade where we have sensitivities. What my test can do can actually test for sensitivities ranging from no sensitivity to very low to low, moderate, and high sensitivity. So we know how your body reacts to these particular things by looking at these IgG-mediated reactivities that you have. So it sounds very fancy, but basically what I can do is take a list of different dairy, different fruits, different grains, different vegetables, meats, and nuts, and be able to separate out into those different types of sensitivities. And so people who have low sensitivity versus high sensitivity versus true allergen are going to have different symptoms. Those who have sensitivities mostly need to try to eliminate out these foods from their diet for a certain period of time. And what we hope they will do is be able to eliminate those foods and then rotate those foods back into their diet at some point. Maybe not the wheat or dairy. Those seem to be particularly difficult to put back into the diet. But most things like vegetables or fruits or different meats we're able to take out for certain amounts of time, several months at a time, and then hopefully rotate those foods back in. Versus a true allergen, such as the peanuts, and I use that because a lot of people are very familiar with that. Those people, if they have a peanut or they're close to a peanut, are going to have a life-threatening reaction and need to have epinephrine right away. So there's a whole big gray zone of what you can eat and what you can't eat, what's actually going to produce symptoms and what's not.
Thank you for that enlightenment. I know Dr. Merritt does she has a different method by which she helps to identify allergens and allergies in her patients, and I'm going to let her kind of tell you a little bit about that particular option.
I use this little German machine called the BioMeridian. It's an electrodermal, electroacupuncture type thing, which picks up sensitivities to different foods and types. And I have used it against, you know, in people who've had proven, you know, skin testing, allergy testing. I've used it in people who've done the fancy, you know, blood testing. And it pretty much comes out about 99%, you know, accurate. It just takes, you know, probably an hour to do, which isn't, I can't do it on everybody, and it, you know, I have to allot certain days and times to do it. But I've done a lot of allergy testing with it, and I think it's a very valid alternative method also.
Especially in the world of immunoglobulins. Immunoglobulins, to those of you out there who haven't heard that term, it's basically a protein made by your immune system that reacts to certain foods or environmental allergens, and so your body reacts by making these proteins, which then help deal with these environmental allergens. But in the world of allergies, it can get very confusing because, you know, Dr. Davis mentioned earlier that she uses some IgE and some IgG testing, and one of the biggest problems with some of the blood tests is that we can sometimes get false negatives or false positives. One of the examples, simply this, a person could have an IgG reaction, but it might not be high enough for the actual blood titers to register, or they may be reacting slightly differently, or their immune system may be suppressed, so they may have a protein deficiency, and so their titers are reacting, but they're not showing up as really super high, and so we get this false negative result, which, you know, we may tell a patient, well, you didn't show up on this test as positive, but, you know, we may want to try a different type of test or a different type of testing because it's, you know, if we really suspect a food very strongly, we can go back in and we can do additional tests on those particular foods if we need to. I personally, in my office, for food allergies, minus your acute reactants such as, you know, your peanut allergies, your shellfish allergies, the things that people really have seriously acute reactions to, it's been my experience anyway that a lot of the food allergies have delayed reactions. They don't have these acute IgE-mediated reactions, and so we're looking more at an IgG, which is what Dr. Davis looks at. There's another test that I like to do. It's actually a subtype of IgG called IgG4 testing, and it's specific for delayed hypersensitivity food reactions in the sense that you may have a food that you take in and you won't have a reaction to it for 2 or 3 days. And so if you get tested, for an allergy and maybe you ate this food 2 or 3 days ago, your titers may not be high enough, at least for us to say, okay, this test is positive or negative. So then we can look at it from an IgG4 panel perspective, and we can say, okay, well, this person has then a delayed reaction, and this is what this test allows us to do, is basically identify those hard-to-catch sometimes allergens that could be a delayed response, and so effective along those lines. Dr. Davis, what else do you do in regards to